following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Hey, Refuge Family. Hello. Good to be with you. And visitors as well. Glad you joined us today for Fireside Chat. It's June the 4th, 2020. And I'll be taking a few verses today with the intent that has been the case all along for these chats to bring encouragement from God's Word in the midst of our COVID-19 crisis. Although I will say that my time today is intended to still provide that and to do the same for an additional, yet different, yet very real crisis as well. And the obvious additional crisis to the COVID-19 crisis that our chats are here to encourage about is that crisis of racism and even abuse of power, not limited to, but exemplified by police brutality. And our response to all that, right? So both the COVID-19 and that as well. So just as some people would say, hey, is the coronavirus thing even real? It just as surely as some people will ask that, some will say, hey, is there still racism today and you know, police brutality today? And the answer to both of those questions as it relates to the virus and racism is yes, is the answer to both of those. And the question that you would apply to those, perhaps, is why? And the answer to both of those, the coronavirus and why the abuse of power and why racism, the answer to both of those questions is one word, one answer, sin. The Bible says that our corporate sin is the cause of the fall of man, spiritually, physically. So obviously, we're all not going to get the virus. But we're all affected by it to some degree or another, for sure, right? As I'm in an empty room, Josh back at the soundboard and myself and on weekends and other services during the week. That's the case. Now we have 100 and thus we live stream. But we're all affected by it. And again, you can say as well that obviously not everyone is racist. Not everyone abuses power. Not every police officer is a murderer. But those things exist. And we tend to be mindful or not be mindful of matters that we don't think affect us or are not directly affecting us. That's, you know, if there's something going on in a third world country and it's probably the biggest news that's ever hit that country, but if it doesn't affect us in some way, shape, or form, we're probably not going to be real mindful of it. So in some ways, the responses to both of these, in a general sense, and I understand all the nuances and such would say otherwise, but in a general sense, the response is similar. And that is that we ask the Lord to show us if we have contributed to the problems, right? So the problems, not of the COVID virus per se, but the COVID fears and the COVID division, you know, the different camps of how people line up and their reaction to, you know, the masks and the lockdown and such. But my reaction and my attitude to those that differ on that, those that wouldn't agree with me or you on a variety of related topics of the masks or no masks or lockdown or no lockdown and such, as well as the problem of racism, the response to both of those is really key. And you are not responsible, I am not responsible for the things that are beyond our control. Maybe that's bestating or belaboring the obvious, but we are responsible before the Lord for the things that are in our control, right? Our contribution to them or lack of contribution to them, our attitude, my response, your attitude, your response. These are things that are in our control, right? And these are the things that we must address always in life, and certainly with the things that we're talking about today. So, the question then, what should I do? And a lot of us are still laboring over that, hopefully prayerfully. You know, what should I do? And I put together a short list of two, not an exhaustive list, obviously. And time would dictate that it would not be exhaustive in the 15-minute total that we have. But I would say number one is to pray, to ask the Lord to reveal your heart. I ask the Lord to show me my heart, because only the Lord truly knows what's in it. You know, we think we do, but I don't think we are very accurate sometimes. And so we ask the Lord. Psalm 139, let me read to you just the first four verses and then a couple towards the end of it. I think you're familiar with this, but this kind of encapsulates what I'm saying about asking the Lord to search our hearts. And so the psalmist said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, you know it completely. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and then lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting." That's a great prayer. I have to pray that often, especially times when I'm wondering, well, what's my motive in this? What's my heart in this? I need the Lord to reveal that to me. So I pray that prayer. So number one, as to what we do in these times, in this dual crisis, we ask the Lord to search our hearts, right? Secondly, we ask the Lord, I ask the Lord to reveal my actions. I would recommend, ask the Lord to reveal your actions or lack of that may contribute to the problem. A little self-examination. Excuse me, I would take a sip of the Psalm 46 cup. So, self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13, not the famous 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 13. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church, says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Test the things that you're saying and doing, actions that should be there that are not there, actions that shouldn't be there that are there, all that. Test yourself. Don't you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? As a believer, he's saying that that's the reality. Christ dwells within you. That's the marvelous mystery revealed of what we know as the church. Christ is in you. Unless, of course, you failed the test. In other words, if you're not a believer, then yeah, Christ is not in you. But I'm writing to you, church, and saying, hey, if you're a believer, Christ is in you, so examine yourself to see what's going on. Does that line up with the faith and with the Spirit of Christ in you? So when I examine myself, when you examine yourself, the natural tendency, and that's the operative word there, natural, not the spiritual tendency, the natural tendency is to defend my point, my perspective, what I've done even, right? So consequently, we're very good at pointing out, I'm very good at pointing out the splinter in your eye, but ignoring the log in my own eye. Jesus spoke of this because it's a common reality. And he spoke of it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, he speaks of that. So if we don't examine ourselves, and then listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's faithful to lead and to show and to reveal and help. He's the helper, right? But if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss it. So we got to examine ourselves, and we do that prayerfully as well. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, tied into the chat I did 2 weeks ago, in the Genesis 18 account. And Genesis 18 is the story of the ongoing story of Abraham and Sarah. And so it's in the latter years. The Lord and a couple of messengers, angels, they pay a little surprise visit, not a surprise to the Lord, but to Abraham, pay a visit to him. And so Abraham prepares some food for them, and they chat, and the Lord says to Abraham, you know, that promise of a child, it's still going to happen, and many years have gone by, and you haven't seen the promise, but it's still going to happen. And you and Sarah are going to have relations, and she's going to get pregnant, and she's going to have that child of promise. That is still going to happen, because God said it was going to happen. It's His promise. It's part of that covenant. And the story tells us that Sarah is off to the side, eavesdropping. Hey, you know, what's going on, listening. And when she hears that from the Lord, the angel of the Lord, maybe a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, but the point being is that when she hears that statement, she's going to be having a baby still, you know, here in the latter years of her life, way latter years of her life, way beyond the norm of having a child. She has this doubt-filled chuckle, just laughs. And so the story goes on to say that the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And you would think Abraham would say, well, ask her. I mean, she's the one that did it. And the Lord would. The Lord would address that with her because she's responsible for her laugh, which was based on doubt, you know, that God could do that. But Abe was responsible for his contribution to her reaction. Interesting, right? Abraham was responsible, and that's what the Lord asked him. Why did your wife laugh? He was responsible for his contribution to her reaction. Wasn't responsible for her reaction per se, but his contribution towards that. His contribution towards her lack of faith, wherein she would just chuckle at the thought that that really is going to happen. Like, yeah, I'm really going to have this child of promise. Which she, of course, as you know the story, she did, Isaac being his name. So I need to empathize with a plight that I can't relate to firsthand. And so, for example, you know, maybe, you know, someone tells you they've got a relative in ICU with COVID-19 and it's not looking good. And you may say, well, I feel fine. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you do. And I'm glad that you're not sick, but there is a need for empathy at that time. Not to say, well, you know, statistically, you know, only one out of, those facts are important, but not to be at the forefront of the conversation, right? So empathize. I empathize with a plight I can't relate to firsthand. And the same is to be said of racism. You may say, well, I'm not a racist. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. But we need to empathize. You need to empathize. I need to. I need to learn so that I can do that. And there may be things that I'm just flat out, I know there are things that there are things I'm ignorant of. What it's like to hear the talk that every young black person has to have from a parent or grandparent about what to do when pulled over by a police officer. It made sense when I heard that, but I never thought about it being a standard conversation, like, you know, the talk about the birds and the bees. And there's that talk as a standard thing. And so we take the time to find out these things. I was Shannon from our fellowship here. She sent me a link to a video. I'm not sure when it was done. Sometime in the last couple of days, Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel, Newport News, Virginia, and Tony did not really a roundtable, but a panel of different guests on stage, and they talked through some of the things you and I are talking about right now. And this one very articulate woman, she spoke of white privilege. And so when she said that, and she was going to define it, and I thought, well, I know what that is, but I didn't. Because as she went on to explain in the video, and by the way, you really should watch this video, email me, call the church office, I will get the link to you. Very important to watch. But anyway, she says it's not, white privilege doesn't mean that we think that, you know, all whites get everything handed to them. They don't have hard times. She goes, of course not. I mean, that's just not reality. She said, what it is not having to think about your skin color. That's the privilege in certain circles, in certain places, in certain parts of the country, maybe the whole country, the whole world. But her point is that's what it really is the privilege of not having to think about your skin color. And she would go on to talk about, she's a very successful woman, a black woman, by the way, very articulate, very sharp, going into a nice department store and know that she's being trailed, that she's being watched. And she said, my reaction in the flesh is I want to pull out my wallet and say, don't you realize I'm not a shoplifter? I have enough credit. This credit card here, this could pay your rent for a year. And this credit card here, this could, and she went, but that's not how the Lord would have me to react. And so anyway, it was very insightful for me. And so the key to that video, and to empathizing is starting the conversation. as I'm learning. So a couple of things in God's word regarding empathy, and I'm looking at the clock and saying, I'm running out of time. So here, let me go through this really quick. Deuteronomy chapter 10. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger and the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, God saying to his people, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Right? Deuteronomy 15, the same kind of conversation. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. And that's why he gives you this command today, to love the stranger. So in this time of dual crisis, let's ask the Lord to search our hearts, right? Search my heart, Lord. See if there's anything there that I'm missing, right? I need you to do that, Lord. So we ask the Lord to search our hearts and then do some self-examination of our actions or lack thereof. And we take that to the Lord, and I think God's going to use that. So let's pray, all right? Father, thank you. Lord, nothing takes you by surprise. Lord, the passages we've read of these things, obviously you knew way in advance would happen. You know what's happening today and knew it would happen. Lord, you have hope where it seems like there is no hope because you are the God of hope, Lord. You are our God and you're the God of hope. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for breathing hope into the times we live. Lord, use us as carriers of that hope, of ambassadors of that hope, Lord, in the opportunities that you present to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.